Hey everybody, and welcome to the Biathlon podcast. And it's time to get the violins out because the season is over. It felt like it just began, but here we are. All the globes have been taken, the champagne has been drunk, but who got to the top of the mountain? Let's find out. Thanks so much for joining me, everybody, for episode 88, I believe, of the Biathlon podcast. It's Tuesday, March the 19th, and I am Will Provero. And yeah, just like that, the season is over. The final bullets have been shot, and the final penalty loops have been skied. Been an absolute hell of a season. We've had some incredible racing. Probably the best of it coming recently over at Soldier Hollow. The races in Canmore, maybe not the most dramatic races themselves, but the drama came especially in the women's races from that overall battle that we've been looking at and been enjoying all season. We'll get into all the action. We'll also have a quick look at my early bets for the overall next season. As always, you can get in touch with your reactions to the season closer, predictions for next season, or any questions you have. You can get in touch on the Facebook page, the Twitter page, or you can email me at thebiathlonpodcast@gmail.com. But let's start off where the action was, as I say, in the women's races. We had sprints, pursuits, and mass starts. And coming into this, we still had four or five women technically in contention for the overall globe. Ingrid Lamarck-Tandrevold leading us into the final three races. Bitozzi and Brazier-Boucher hot on her heels. Simon and Jean Monod lurking in the shadows. And it came down to the sprint. The conditions looked good over there in Canmore, but it was Justine Brazier-Boucher, unfortunately for her, drawing the short straw and heading out first, so she wouldn't have any of the information over what the others were doing. She missed one in the prone, but we do know that she can still win from there. She's done so enough times this season. Jean Monod was going off early as well, though, and she matched her for pace and got the 5 out of 5, so she was your early leader. We then had Elvira and Julia Simon both also skiing very well, and both also shooting pretty well too. They both went clear. Elvira at 1.5 behind Jean Monod. Simon in the lead. Brazier-Boucher, meanwhile, needed 5 on the stand to have a chance. She got it, but it wouldn't be enough for her, unfortunately. Bitozzi, the biggest threat going into this to Tandrevold. Up until this point, she'd hit 59 shots out of 60 in the sprints. Absolutely wild stats from Bitozzi. And she wasn't changing that back in the sprint here. She didn't miss in the prone. 3.5 seconds behind Simon, all so close up at the top. Then we were going back to the stand for the early starters. Jean Monod going into the stand, 10 out of 10, and she was outskiing Justine Brazier-Boucher. A star of the future, some thought, a star of the present at the moment. Jean Monod absolutely dominating the final part of the season. She's just been incredible. She was 24.2 seconds up on Brazier-Boucher going onto the final lap. But it wasn't just the overall title favourites getting in the mix, because Lena Heike-Gross, who's had such a brilliant season, was clear as well. 1.3 seconds behind Jean Monod, and the race was on for the win there. Simon, unfortunately, she was out of it as well. She missed one in the stand. She was really racing Justine Brazier-Boucher at this point and hoping for some miracles ahead of her to really have any chance of the overall. And it all came down to what Tandrevold was going to do. And she missed on the prone, which you barely ever see her do. 96% on the season, but it didn't help her at the end there. She needed 9 out of 10 from there on out. And we know that the stand has been where she struggled. At the end, Jean Monod had survived the challenge of Heike-Gross. She would set the early pace. But Bitozzi came through the stand 10 out of 10 as well, and skiing unbelievably. She was 3.1 seconds up at 6.9 kilometers. I was wondering if she was going to be able to hold on. Not only did she hold on, she extended the lead 5.5 seconds faster than Jean Monod. And at that stage, it was looking like Bitozzi had the win in the bag. We did still have some other names to look forward to, though. The main one of them being Tandrevold. She needed to go clear in the stand. It wasn't her worst stand shoot by any means. Only one miss, but that was 2 on the day. And she was 16th as she left the range. Great performances throughout the field. Really pushing the big names down, a perfect race for Vitozzi. She took the win in this one. Tangevold went home. She was 14th for now, over a minute back, but that wouldn't last. She would end up all the way down in 17th. She did do enough to take the sprint globe, so a bit of silverware for Tangevold on the first for the first race. But it was a bad day for her because Vitozzi, first place, she sliced the gap to single figures. Jomineau in second place, Heike Gross in third. Great, another podium for Heike Gross, just an incredible season. Fourth place was Simone, and then we had a fifth place for Hannah Urberg. Nice end to the season for Hannah Urberg. And Anna Gandler, who's quickly becoming a star of the future, getting into the flower ceremony in sixth place. A couple of other notable results in this sprint. Bajor Boucher, as I say, shuffled down the order by some of these other great performances. She came in eighth. Anna Maria Lampic getting a top 10 with just two misses for her. Heidenberg for Sweden with a brilliant performance in 15th for her PB for there. Tangevold in 17th. As I say, disappointing for her. She still led, but just by 7 points on Vitozzi. It was 73 to Justin Brizard-Boucher and 80 to Simon, 85 to Jomineau. And we still really had five people in with sort of in the mix. Two other performances I just wanted to shout out before we move on to the pursuit. Mona Brorson in her final races, getting a clear shoot. 10 out of 10 for her. The ski speed not quite there. She finished 19th, but a brilliant result nonetheless as she finished her career. 24th place, Stina Nielsen, getting two misses and a decent performance from her. So we came into the pursuit, and obviously the overall was in play, but the pursuit, small crystal globe, was also in play here. Simon leading Vitozzi. But obviously the bigger prize was at stake, and Vitozzi was leading out. As they came into the first shoot, Vitozzi had let Heike Gross and Jomineau catch up. The field really compacting as nobody wanted to go out too hard in this one. Jomineau and Heike Gross, though, both missed one. Vitozzi clear in this one. That lets Simon get up to second place, 12 seconds behind the Italian. And crucially for the overall, Justine Brezard-Boucher with two misses. That looked like it was going to mark the end of her challenge. Only two of the top, I think 10, I've written 9 in my notes here, so it might have been the top 9, but not quite as nice a stat there. But only two of them went clear on the first stand. Tangevold, though, most importantly, was going well. She was clear up to 11th and skiing with Justine Brizard-Boucher as she came off the loop onto the second lap. In shoot two again, Vitozzi, just letting the field come back to her. Simone catching her this time. Both looked like they were skiing carefully, though. Simone not closing the gap entirely, but both went clear again. Jomineau, who'd skied very hard, and Tangevold also clear again. Tangevold now up to 9th, as Justine Brezard-Boucher missed another one to fall further back down the field. Into the third shoot. And again, it was the same story. Vitozzi, this time letting Simon and Jomineau bring themselves back to her on the lap. They all came in together. Simon, after skiing hard, she missed. Jomineau also missed, but Vitozzi yet again clear in this one. Lots of misses ahead of Tangevold in this one, so I wondered if she was going to make her way up the field, but she couldn't take the advantage. She missed the first and the last shot, down to 13th, and it looked like the yellow bib was going the way of Italy, but we still had one shoot to go through, and this time Vitozzi came in alone. All the pressure on her, and we did see the first mistake, the fourth shot just going high at 12 o'clock, but it didn't matter because Simon missed two, Jomineau missed another one, and it was Vitozzi's race and on the final lap. And if Simon didn't catch her teammate, the globe would be going to Vitozzi. It wasn't just her one teammate she had to worry about, though, because Justine Brezard-Boucher complicated things even further. 5 out of 5 after an absolutely storming penultimate lap. She got herself up to third to put even more of a gap in between Simon and Vitozzi. Tangevold, unfortunately, with another two misses, was back down to 17th. And it was all Vitozzi in this one. She comes home 19 hits out of 20 to take the win, take the sprint pursuit double along with it. She finished first. Jomineau with another second place. Justine Brezard-Boucher in third. Simon fourth. Guigonna a brilliant fifth place. So we had four French women in the top 5 in this one. Anna Gandler taking another trip to the flower ceremony. She came home sixth. Tandrevold, unfortunately, ended up in 19th place, which meant going into the last race of the season, Vitozzi had what, I mean, going into this weekend, an absolutely huge lead over Tandrevold, 61 points. Jeanmonod had also got herself up to third going into it. And so it was down to the last race. Vitozzi needing just 30 points to take the globe. That was 11th place. But this one wasn't going to be easy either. First shoot, Vitozzi and Tandrevold basically in the first lap seemed happy to kind of melt back into the pack. The French were setting the pace, not a really strong pace. Jeanmonod went out a little bit hard, but then everyone sort of brought her back. But yeah, the two sort of battling for the overall win here, just settling into the middle. Up at the front though, Simone, 5 out of 5, she was out first, as a lot of others missed. All eyes on Vitozzi though, she missed the first and the last. That was two misses for Vitozzi. You never see that, and you wondered if the pressure was getting to her. Tandrevold needed to take advantage, but she also missed one. So it could have been worse for Vitozzi, but she was down in 27th place at this point. Into the second shoot, we had six leaders up at the front, and Simone, Jeanmonod, Arnaclive, and Hetich Vaults all went clear. Hannah Roberg and Davidova, who had been up with them, fell back. Tandrevold went for a fast shoot, and she shot well, clearing. Vitozzi, though, also bouncing back and clear as well. Tandrevold now 13th, Vitozzi 20th, and Tandrevold needed to get a wriggle on here. Over into the third shoot, and the misses came thick and fast now. Simone, Arnaclive, both missing two. Jeanmonod and Hetich Vaults taking advantage. They led together an unlikely pair, and not so much Jeanmonod, but Hetich Vaults with a brilliant race in this one. Hannah Roberg up to third. She was 21 seconds back. Vitozzi missing again, but unfortunately Tandrevold missed again as well. They were both making their way up through the field. Tandrevold 9th, Vitozzi 16th. And unless Tandrevold did something miraculous, it wouldn't be enough to stop Vitozzi taking the overall globe. And as we came into the final shoot, it was Jeanmonod with a small lead over Hetich Vaults. She missed the first shot. Hetich Vaults, with 5 out of 5, could go for her first ever win, but she also missed one. That gave the victory there to Jeanmonod. But Gion Guigana was climbing her way up the field. She went clear. Simone, Justine Brézard-Bouchet, and Hannah all missed. Tandrevold needed to do something. She could get in front of a lot of people, but she missed the fourth, and that was her dreams of overall over. That gave it to Vitozzi. So Jeanmonod led, Hetich Vaults 2.5 seconds behind, Guigana 8 seconds behind in third. Vitozzi came in for the final shoot. She missed two. It was a bad day for Vitozzi, but it was enough to get the overall. Jeanmonod taking the win, so 3 podiums and a win in total there for Jeanmonod in the 3 races. Brilliant, brilliant stuff from her. That also took her up to second in the overall standings. She overtook Tandrevold, who ended up 8th. Vitozzi down in 21st, but it didn't matter. 23 points up on Jeanmonod and taking the overall. Jeanmonod also taking the Mastart Globe. Incredible season from her, and we'll come on to that. But Hetich Vaults, got to give a shout out to her. Second place. I believe her first in World Cups. Obviously, she took a podium in the individual in the World Championships. Brilliant race there. That time behind Vitozzi. Guigana getting her first podium in third. Great end to the season for her. Go into the summer full of confidence. Brézard-Bouchet ended up fourth. Another flower ceremony for Anna Gandler, who, we've got to watch out for next season, because this has been an incredible end to the season. We have seen people take dips in form, though, but Anna Gandler does look like we'll be seeing her getting podiums and potentially wins sooner rather than later. And another trip for the flower ceremony for Hannah Herberg, who again finished very strong there. But it was all about Vitozzi, really. The redemption story complete. What a season from her. And she sort of did it in the way that you almost expect her to now. You look at her sort of win totals, she's only got 8 wins in her career. And when you think that Jeanmonod, who didn't have a win going into this season, has already got 4 wins, it sort of shows how Vitozzi goes about it. It's consistency. It's not these high peaks only. It's just that week in, week out consistency. And you can see that from her podiums. I say she's got 8 wins, she's got 31 podiums. But this season, just absolutely, absolutely amazing when you look back at it. Just one race outside the top 20. Obviously, that was the mass start at the end of the season, where I think you can understand that the emotions would have been getting the best of her if she realised that she was going to be the overall champion. What was that? One outside the top 20, just looking down here. Only three races, including that mass start, outside of the top 10 all season. Just insane how she's done that. And really, when you're looking at the race for overall, something that is so important is getting those sprints right. And I mentioned earlier she was 59 out of 60 shots in sprints going into that weekend. Obviously, she got 10 out of 10. So that's 69 hits out of 70 shots in the sprints. And if you're setting yourself up for pursuits like that, then you're going to be a nightmare for your competitors. And that's how Vitozzi won it, just that week in, week out consistency. So happy for her to get that win. Obviously, she had those titanic battles against Vera in 18 and 19. Then she went through that insane period where she just could not hit the opening prone targets, which when you look at this season, just it's insane to think that it's the same athlete. So reliable. She got over those battles and comes back and takes the overall. Brilliant, brilliant stuff from her. You look at what she's got to look forward to in the future now. Could she repeat? She's still just 29. This could be the first of a couple or even more. Although we'll come on to a couple of people that will have something to say to that in a minute. But obviously now it's all got to be about those home Olympics to really round out the set. She's got world championship gold medals. She's now on the overall. If she can win Olympic gold in front of our home fans, I mean, what a career we'd be talking about. Sort of in the shadow of Vera for so long, but very much out of that now. And top of the world. And I did think as I was watching this, obviously we'll come onto the men's races in a minute, but this is almost the blueprint that you've got to look at for Sturla Holm-Lygrid. Came into the tour young, almost takes the overall globe in that amazing battle with Johannes Tingis. Bit of a down season this year, but Vitozzi's shown him exactly what he needs to do going forward. Just that consistency. To be able to take them on. So brilliant, brilliant stuff from Vitozzi. Got to give a shout out for some others though in the field. Lou Jeanmonod. I mean, if she hadn't missed the races in Lenzerheide, we'd be looking at the champion, I think. Second overall, and I've got to say my, and I'm sure many other people's early favourite for overall glory next season. 94% in the prone, 90% in the stand. She takes home the Master Globe as well to go along with that. And that, you know, that little taste of silverware, you get the feeling that she's going to want more of that going forward. Absolutely incredible stuff for her to finish second. Obviously, not just second, but the top French athlete in the field. When you look at the seasons that Brésard Boucher and Simon have had, to come out ahead of all of them shows just the caliber of the athlete that Jeanmonod is. Spare a thought for Tandrevold. Just couldn't quite hold on to it. It was, yeah, so close, but so far. But the positives from this season, she takes the sprint globe. That's her second bit of hardware in her career so far. She was the mass start champ in the COVID season. So in a weird way, kind of the first sort of proper full season globe that Tandrevold's taken. She's still just 27. She's skiing faster than ever this season. It's all just down to that standing shoot. And obviously, we've seen what Vitozzi can do to turn around the prone shoot. But 73% from Tandrevold this season. She needs to get that into the 80s at least, which she has done a couple of seasons ago. So we know she's capable of it. But if she wants to challenge again next season, because I think it's going to be just as competitive, if not more so. I mean, you look at the names at the top of the women's order, obviously Vitozzi taking it. Jeanmonod, Tandrevold, Brésard Boucher, Simon, Heike Groß next season could step up. We've seen her winning multiple races this season, multiple podiums as well. So she could be a danger She finished sixth this season. Elvira's going to want to come back stronger. You've got the likes of Vanessa Voigt. If she can get the ski speed up a bit, we know she's good enough in the range. Preutz, who's again battled some injury, held the yellow bib earlier this season. There's just so many names that are going to look to be competing, let alone if Anna Maria Lampic can figure out how to sort out the shooting. I think we're in for another incredible season next year. The women's racing always seems to give us incredible races. But yeah, well done to Vitozzi. Incredible season from Jomino as well. Well done to Tandrevold. Other champs there, obviously, Elvira taking the under-25 bib. Slid down to seventh, though, and I think overall she'll be a bit disappointed with this season. She was in contention really up until Soldier Hollow and then just fell away towards the end. That's the women's races done. We also came into Canmore not knowing who was going to win the men's, so let's see how that shook out. But I think you might be able to guess who came home with the overall globe there. As it has been for some time now, it was the tale of two brothers, Taibo and Johannes Tingus Bo, battling for the overall crown. But that wasn't the only trophy that was going to be decided in the men's sprint, because Taya and Stella Holm Ligrid were both going head-to-head for that title. Ligrid 22 points, behind Taya in that one. Taya went early and it was a good start for him, 5 out of 5. He also latched on to Ponsaloma for the second lap, who'd missed 3, so could have been skiing angry. Pretty nice skis to get onto the back of for Taya Bo there. Eric Perrault looking for a follow-up to his incredible first World Cup victory. He went 10 out of 10. The speed wasn't quite good enough. They mentioned on commentary that the tracks were a lot harder in Canmore. Perrault, very stylish skier, but quite light on his skis. Possibly better in the tougher conditions, which obviously we had in Utah last week. But brilliant stuff from Perrault. Amazing way to follow up his first win, not resting on his laurels at all. Stella Holm Ligrid looking to battle with Taya for the sprint crown. It wasn't going to happen for him. He was nowhere this weekend. 2 out of 5 in the prone, and with that, Taya pretty much won the sprint. No one else was looking in contention to catch him. So we looked at the overall race, and Johannes Tingus 7.1 seconds up on Samuelson after they both went clear in the prone. Taya coming into the stand, he missed the 4th. Big gap until he went for the 5th. Almost a 10-second gap between the 4th and 5th shot, but it paid off for him. He got it down, and that was definitely good enough for him to take the sprint crown. So amazing stuff from Taya. But all eyes were on Johannes, seeing if there would be any change in the overall. Perrault was the early leader, as I said. Johannes Kern coming home and matched him exactly. And I should have looked this up because I can't remember exactly, but I'm almost certain that this is the second time that Kern has been exactly even with someone in a sprint. I think it was Ligrid. I cannot remember the race, though. But a great race from Kern, finishing off strong for the German team. Jacqueline was looking good, but we know how it goes with Jacqueline. He missed the last shot, and that was him out of contention for the win. But really, no one was in contention for the win, because Johannes Tingus was putting on an absolute clinic in this one. He finished with the perfect 10 out of 10 to take the win, and this was a big one. Over a minute lead over the entire field. That equaled Ola Reiner Bjørndalen's record of 35 sprint wins. Just another one to tally up there for Johannes Tingus. Over a minute lead over Jacquemel, Taya, and Jacqueline, who was in 4th. We had 7 5th at this point, and Perrault in 6th. But just like last week, there was a certain young Norwegian at the back of the pack looking to upset the apple cart, because Johan Olav Botten was again starting at the back of the field, bib number 100, and he was on form again, 5 out of 5, then 10 out of 10, and he was into second place going onto the final lap. Another name, Reithmüller from Germany, was also lighting up the final minutes of the race. He went 8th. Botten couldn't quite get another podium. That would have been 2 in a row, but he went 5th place. Brilliant stuff from Botten and Reithmüller, because, you know, the sprint races, you can get a little bit, The concentration starts to wane a little bit as you get into the 70s, 80s, 90s. But Ralf Müller and Button keeping me on the edge of my seat until the end of this one. Great race from both of them. But Johannes Tinge is absolutely insane in this one. He, over a minute lead over Jacquemel in second place. That wrapped up pretty much the blue bib for the Italian. Third place, Taillebaut taking the sprint globe. Jacquelin, fourth, continuing his excellent end to the season. Button, fifth, and Seb Samuelsson, sixth. And so we came onto the pursuit. This was going to be where Johannes would look to wrap up the overall globe, and he did just that. But it was a good one, this. It wasn't as much of a walkover as it could have been. Johannes Tingus with one miss in the prone first shoot, but the real race was kind of behind him. Seb with the advantage, as Jacquelin and Taillebaut both missed one. Jacquemel missed two, but it was Button up into third. So we had Johannes Tingus, Seb Samuelsson, and Button back up into the podium places. And this is where we started to have the glimmer of a race at the front, because there was another miss in the second shoot from Johannes Tingus. Jacquelin, meanwhile, went rapid, 5 out of 5, and cut the gap to just 18.7 seconds. Seb closing in on him in third, Button clear again. He was just over 30 seconds back of the lead. So we came into shoot three, and Jacquelin was obviously going to be the story here, because he was putting the pressure on Johannes Tingus, skiing hard on lap three. But Johannes Tingus was equal to it. He cleared. Jacquelin under pressure. He missed two. That was the end of his challenge for the win. Seb with one miss. They were joined by Taillebaut in the podium race group behind Johannes, putting the cherry on top of his season. He tried to go clear, but he did miss one in the final shoot. No mistakes. He missed the first, no mistakes with the final four, though, and the race was on for second. Jacquelin looked like he got it 4 out of 4, but just missed the last shot yet again. That would mean that he was outside the top two. Perrault and Seb Samuelsson were clear, with Taillebaut missing his last shot too. So we had a little bit of a fight for the podium. So Johannes Tinge's taking it in a bit of a walkover, really, but a good fight for second place. Seb and Perrault going head-to-head in the sprint. Samuelsson just proven too strong there. He took second place. Perrault with another great race in third. Jacquelin fourth, Taillebaut fifth, and Jacquemel in sixth. Shout out in this race to Timo Seppälä, the Finn, who, 2 or 3 seasons ago, we were seeing in the top 10 regularly. He dropped off massively, but back in a bit of form in Canmore. He came home eighth. Really good result for Seppälä, who on his day, you know, can threaten the top five. So good to see him back, getting back into the top 10. And so we came down to the final race, and it was the mass start. And this one, I think some people were already relaxing, getting onto their vacations here, because there were a lot of misses in the first shoot. Perrault was the first to clear. Ligried and Johannes Tingus both going with him. Seb Samuelsson, who had a strong weekend, he was pretty much out of it from the get-go with 3 misses. He wouldn't recover, and he finished a long way back down the field. Shoot 2, the field pretty much all back together, 17 of them within 10 seconds. But you guessed it, Johannes Tingesbo hitting 5 out of 5, getting the break, 6.4 seconds up on Christensen, Stalder, Noref, and Dole. Stellaholm Ligrid, who was at the front with Johannes there, 3 misses in his second shot. Just a bad weekend. So the coaches said they didn't recognize him the way he was skiing out there. So yeah, tough racing for Ligrid. Don't know if it was the heat. It was very warm over there in Canmore. You saw a lot of them cutting the arms off their race suits. I think Heike Gross even cut the legs down as well, so that she had some shorts. But tough racing for Ligrid. Not the finish he really wanted to go into the summer, especially with youngsters like Button impressing. Maybe, you know, could be putting him under pressure a little bit. Into the third shoot, though, and this was a brilliant shoot, really, from Johannes Tingus. He's been slow, measured in pretty much all of his shoots this year. We've seen him in the prone, often going longer than 30 seconds to get his shots away. But he shows he's still got the rapid fire in him in this one. Nailed all 5 of them. Darley Shevdal, the only one of the next 10 athletes to go clear. He was up to second. And the final shoot, again, almost the perfect day for Johannes. 19 out of 20 because the last target stayed standing. That didn't matter for him, though. Another win and the Mastart Globe. Dalé finished well and got into second. Jacques Lann, another brilliant performance from him. He gets onto the podium as well. But it was all about Johannes Thingnes in this one. Fifth Crystal Globe, 85th World Cup win. And what more is there really to say about him? Incredible stuff. I mean, you look at this season as a whole, it almost hasn't really felt like the dominance from Johannes Thingnes that we're used to. We've seen so many other winners, like the Germans getting involved. Obviously, Norath took a win, Doll took a win. Roman Rees won the first race of the season. It feels like we've seen a lot of people challenging Johannes Thingnes. But at the end of the day, he takes the overall Crystal Globe, he takes the individual Crystal Globe, the Mastart Crystal Globe, and the Fischhoek Crystal Globe. So if you're looking at the silverware alone, this is Johannes Thingnes' second most dominant season, the first being the quick clean sweep he took in 2019. And I don't know, it just doesn't feel like that to me looking back at the season, but he's been incredible. As he often is. So brilliant stuff from Johannes Thingnes. In the end, it's almost a 200-point victory at the top over his brother, Taibo, coming home second. The Norwegians blocking out the top five of the overall standings. We got the Bows at the top. Dalé Schevdal, really solid finish from him in third. Ligrid fourth. Christiansen fifth. Jacques Lann with, as I said, just a really, really impressive end to the season. He gets himself up to sixth. It looked for a long time like we would have a top 10 without any Frenchman in it. But Jacques Lann getting some pro back for the French team at the end of the season. Basically, since the World Championships, you look at how he's gone. Back in Oslo, three top 10s there. In the mass start, fifth place. In the individual, he was ninth. The other one was the single mix relay, so that doesn't really count. That was a pretty bad performance, actually, when I think about it. But then Soldier Hollow last week, second place in the sprint, third place in the pursuit, and then in Canmore, a couple of fourth places and another podium. So really, really good end to his season. And in terms of his ski speed, it's actually better than it has been in the last three seasons. The standing shooting improved a bit from last season. It's still in the 70s, 75% in the stand shoot, 83% in the prone. So he needs to improve the shooting, but the speed is there. He just needs to learn how to pace it better. So many times we've seen him blow up on the last lap, and I mean, that's been happening for years now, so I'm not massively expecting it to change, but really good to see Jacques Lann ending the season on a high. Apparently, in January, he was almost at a point where he was thinking about quitting biathlon completely, and I do not want to see that. As I say, easily my favourite to watch in the field, so I'm hoping we'll have many more seasons to enjoy Jacques Lann. Top non-Norwegian, kind of an award in itself. Seventh place, another Norwegian, Stromsheim, kind of the forgotten man of the season, but still finishing seventh place overall. Jacquemel finishing eighth, a good season for Jacquemel, but I think he kind of came into the season wanting more than that. He gets the blue bib. He beat Perot for that honour in the final races of the season. Perot finishing 11th. Two Swedes in between them, Samuelsson and Ponsaloma. I think both of them will be a little bit disappointed with their overall seasons. Obviously, they had individual high points to look back on. I think the big surprise when I look at the overall, though, where the Germans ended up. We've got four Germans in order: 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th, Kern, Dole, Strello, and Norath. And almost like how I say it, Johannes' season was better than it felt. I think the German season was better than it felt, because we were seeing so many wins, so many different people winning. Obviously, Norath, Dole taking victories, Rees taking victory, Strello basically being the best marksman in the entire field. He had an incredible year. What his percentages were there? 94% on the year, 95% in the prone, 93% in the stand. I mean, yeah, really, really impressive stuff from the German team as a whole, but no single one of them sort of mounting an overall challenge. So I wonder if we might see someone break away from the pack there going forward. Phil Maillet, disappointing season for him. He ended up 16th. A couple of other names just to point out. Johan Olav Botten ending up 29th overall after how many races did he even did he end up racing in? Let's have a quick look here. Can't have been 10 races that he competed in this season. So brilliant stuff from him. And Simon Ader getting into the top 30, 30th overall for the 40-year-old by the end of the year, which is, you know, really, really impressive, as he often is. Looking forward to next season. Obviously, the big question is going to be, can anyone challenge Johannes Tingis? Tyre, the closest to it this season. I wonder if that's taken a fair amount out of him, though. Obviously, he's not getting any younger. He's still looking to be, what is he, 35? He'll be 36 next season, but he's skiing almost as well as he ever has. He's shooting brilliantly. Couple of meltdowns this season, but overall, just a brilliant season from Tyre. Hoping to see a bit of a comeback from the likes of Jacquemel. Sorry, not Jacquemel, Jacqueline and Stella Holm-Lygrid, who I think they've had their moments this season. Obviously, Jacqueline's finished brilliantly. Stella Holm-Lygrid doing well in the to take gold in the World Championships in the sprint. He's been on and off this season, so I'll be looking for both of them to hopefully challenge a bit more consistency. As with Phil Maillet, I think we're looking for some sort of French resurgence next season. And at the head of that might well be Perrault, who looks to be the new star of the French team. Maybe just needs a little bit more power on the skis. We saw in a couple of moments that getting out sprinted by Seb Samuelson in the pursuit there. But overall, Perrault looks excellent, so assured in the range. And if he can carry that on, then you look at his stats, 82% overall in the range, one of the few who shoots better in the stand than the prone. If he can boost that up from the low 80s to the high 80s, then there could be many more victories in the future for Perrault. Still only 22, which is crazy to think of. And alongside that, obviously, we've got Botten and Jacquemel, sort of the young guns looking to upset the status quo, which obviously for so long now has been Johannes Tingis. But you can't really predict these things. Obviously, my tip this season for the person to do just that was Nicholas Hartweg. Had a great season last year. Just didn't happen for him at all this season. But who knows, he could come back stronger next season as well. So a lot to look forward to there. But looking at the present, Johannes Tingis, I mean, we're watching the greatest, possibly, of all time to do it. Whether you're a four-card man, whether you're a Bjørn Dahlen man, or whether you're a Burr man, we are watching one of the best to do it, and that's something you gotta savor, because once he's gone, you'll look back and think that you were watching something pretty special there. And I think that'll just about do us for this week. I'll be back in the next couple of weeks with the Biathlon Podcast Awards for the year. So we'll be getting that maybe next week, maybe the week after, depending on what the energy levels are like. Really appreciate all of you who've been listening along this season, though. Hopefully you've enjoyed listening to me. Any changes you want to see, any suggestions you've got, do feel free to get in touch. Always happy to hear them. And with that, we say goodbye to the 23-24 season, for the moment anyway. I hope you've all enjoyed it, and I will see you down the road.